Welcome to our continued series on Know Your Bible. And we want to look at 1 Samuel with you in this session. And 1 Samuel could really be broken down into the history of four people. Two evil and two good. Two evil were Eli the high priest and the first king of Israel, Saul. The good people were Samuel the prophet, and then after him, David, the king who replaced Saul. And so we want to look at the history of these four men, and it starts off, this book does, with, if I could say this, the cry of Hannah. The cry of Hannah. A woman who was barren, a woman who desperately desired a son, and she was crying out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, please give me a son. And if you give me a son, then I will give him back to you." So often there is heavy intercession before a notable birth or a notable victory. In this case, it was a notable birth, because Hannah interceded before God, and God gave to Hannah that desired son, Samuel. And in due time, she gave him back to the Lord. She brought him back to the sanctuary of God and gave him to Eli, the high priest. Now, Eli was the high priest of Israel. He was the judge of Israel, and he had two sons who were very wicked. They were also in the priesthood, and they were ministering in the sanctuary. Now, Eli reproved his sons and warned them, you know, that God is a judge. But you see, he only went as far as reproving his sons. He kept them in the ministry. And for that reason, God was angry with him, and God said, "I will take the priesthood from you and give it to one who is more worthy, one who will do all my will." And you have this little phrase, "he that will do all my will." You have it with David, you have it with Samuel, and of course you have it with Moses and a number of the other prophets. But essentially, God is looking for those who would do all his will. Eli was performing partially the will of God, but he wasn't dealing with his two sons. And so God says, "Well, you're honoring your sons more than me." And for that reason, he took the priesthood from Eli. Well, God spoke to Samuel during the night hours, and he told Samuel that he was to go and speak to the high priest and give him this awesome judgment, which he did. Now then, after a time, God raised up the Philistines again, which are in our parlance, the Palestinians. They've been always the enemy of Israel. And it's only when the Lord comes that they will be finally judged. But throughout the time of the judges, into the period of Samuel, and then Saul, and then David, the Philistines were always a thorn in the side of Israel. So God raised up the Philistines, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant. They slew the two sons of Eli. And when Eli heard, you know, of the slaying of his two sons in battle, he was 98 years of age, and he was sitting on a bench and fell over, broke his neck, and that was the end. Samuel then became the recognized judge of Israel. He was a prophet. He was one who constantly cried out to God. And it was recognized that the word of the Lord was with Samuel. And it is written that God did not permit any word that Samuel said to fall to the ground without that it would be fulfilled. And the people were in awe of him. The people accepted him. The people came to him to hear the word of the Lord. And Samuel was a recognized leader in Israel. Now, after a number of years, he became old, like we all do. And so the people said, "Now, we want you to give us a king. We want to be like the other nations around us. We want to have a king who will go out and fight our battles for us and, will look after us, rule us." And Samuel was greatly disappointed. God spoke to Samuel and said, "You know, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me." In other words, they're not satisfied with my rulership. They want to be like the other nations. And he said, "You're to warn them what it is to like to have a king. That king will take your daughters to, look after his household and take your young men into battle and so forth." But the children of Israel would not listen. And Samuel prayed, and God gave many mighty signs concerning his wrath with them. And they repented, but God gave them this king. Now, this king was from the tribe of Benjamin. And there was no record, if I could say this, in the word of God, that Benjamin would have the throne rights. And yet God met Saul, gave him another heart, caused him to prophesy, anointed him, not only once, but twice. And Saul was a very tall man, head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. And the people were contented. They had gotten their king. Well, a king doesn't only reign, but he has responsibilities. And so always God speaks to the leader and gives the leader orders and commandments. And that's exactly what God did with Saul. He gave him certain commandments, and yet Saul did not obey those commandments wholly. One of them was this, that there was a tribe that had plagued Israel on and off throughout the centuries, and that was the tribe or nation of the Amalekites, descendants of Esau and representative of the flesh. And God was wroth with this nation, and he said to Saul, "Now I want you to go out in battle and absolutely destroy the Amalekites," this evil nation that had been plaguing Israel on and off for centuries. Well, Saul went out to battle. Now, God had said, "I want you to destroy all the Amalekites." And also he said, "I want you to destroy all their cattle, all their sheep." Well, out went Saul. And he slew the Amalekites. But he preserved their king, and he preserved the cattle and the sheep. And Samuel came to him after he had come back from this victory over the Amalekites. And he said, how did it go? And Saul said, "Well, I performed all the commandments of God. I destroyed the Amalekites." And then Samuel said, but what do I hear? "I hear the bleating of sheep, lowing of cattle." And Saul replied, "I kept the sheep and the cattle for sacrifices for the people, that could sacrifice unto God." And Samuel made this awesome statement. He said, to obey is greater than sacrifice. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And this is something that we have to learn ourselves. Because you see, so often I have met people who have said to me, well, you know, of course, I committed this sin, I didn't, if I could say that, didn't wholly obey God, but I gave a sizable offering. I gave quite a sum of money, and God will understand, that will cover it. Oh, no. No, sacrifice and offering, God does not want. He wants someone who will do his will. And so, Samuel had to say on behalf of God, well, Saul, you are rejected. You are rejected because you have not fully obeyed the Lord. Then the heart of Saul was really revealed. He said, well, that's fine, but, will you honor me before the people? You see, Saul was people conscious. And because of that, he lost his kingdom. Then Samuel said to Saul, God has found him a man who will do all his will. And Samuel was sent to Bethlehem, Judea, which was also the birthplace of Christ, to the house of Jesse. And there, as he came, well, all the elders came out and said, what is wrong? Here's the prophet of God coming, and they realize that when he comes, it's serious. And he said, why are you coming? See, and he said, I've come to have a feast. And he called the house of Jesse, and he said, God has chosen one of your sons to be the next king. And so Eliab, the firstborn, was brought in, and Samuel looked at him and saw him as a fine man and said in his heart, surely this is the one that God hath chosen. And God spoke to Samuel and said, look, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And he said, I haven't chosen this man. And I think that's another lesson we need to learn. When we are employing people, or when we are wanting someone to take a certain position, we have to be very careful indeed, especially in the church, that we have the man of God's choice, that we have the man whom God sees will do his will. And God alone knows the heart. God alone knows also the outcome of a life. People can start so well, but it's how you end. And it's only God who knows that. God knows the end from the beginning. We don't. And so it's very important, you see, that we understand that when we have to make appointments or, for example, marriage or so forth, one thing you want to know is, what is the end of the matter? As a pastor, my heart has been broken time and time again with marriages that seem to have been, fine to start with. But, what has happened is this, that the end has not been good. But I've never yet found someone who has not been warned in some way or the other about not marrying a certain person whom God knew would not indeed make the mark. He would turn aside. And God has warned women after women, men after men, but so often they don't pay attention. And the result is they look at the present not realizing the future is so important. And the present might be one thing, the future might be something else. Many start well, few end well. And you have to know from God the end of the matter. Well, he looks at Eliab. God said, I haven't chosen him, I know his heart. He's not the one. And then they went through seven sons. And God said, I haven't chosen any of them. And then Samuel said to Jesse, have you not got anybody else? Oh, yes, he said, I've got the youngest, number eight, who is with the sheep at this moment. Samuel said, we will not eat until he's brought in. And David was summoned. And as David entered, God said to Samuel, arise, anoint him. This is the chosen one. This is the one that will perform all my will, all my will. Well, David was anointed, and as soon as he was anointed, the anointing left Saul, and an evil spirit came upon him, a spirit of great jealousy. Well, now the situation is the Philistines are coming against Israel. And they said, don't let's bother to fight. We send out our champion, Goliath. You send your champion. Whoever wins, then the loser will serve the victor. So they said, if Goliath wins, you will serve us. And if you defeat him, we will serve you. Well, Goliath was a huge giant. And Israel and Saul the king just trembled before him. No one was willing to go out and fight Goliath. David was sent up by his father with some food and provisions for his brothers who were in the army. And David started to inquire, you know, what is the problem? And they said, well, Lord, it's this Goliath. Nobody can go out to meet him. And you know, David, don't forget, he's anointed by God. So he's a different kind of a man. And he said, I'll go. Well, the news got round to King Saul. Somebody was willing to go. And he brought in to Saul and he looked at David. He said, you're just a stripling. David said, I'll go. In the name of the Lord, I'll go. And, you know, Saul tried to put on his armor. It didn't fit. He said, no, I don't want your armor. I'm going in the name of the Lord. He just took five stones, smooth stones, in a sling. Goliath looked at him and said, what? You are coming out against me. He said, I'll slay you and make you a feast to the birds of the air. David said, I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. And as he came and as they advanced towards one another, David with his sling, you know, hurled that stone. That stone, of course, was guided by the Spirit of God. And it hit Goliath in the temple and knocked him down. David rushed and he took the sword and cut off the head of Goliath. You know, the Philistines looked in awe and shouted and ran, and the Israelites pursued after them. Well, Saul looked at David, and you see, there's another, if I could say this, attitude or virtue, preferably with David. He was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He played and worshipped the Lord. And Saul, when troubled by this evil spirit, it was recommended that they call for David. And as David played on his harp, the evil spirit left. Saul loved him and sent him out at the head of his armies. And David won battle after battle after battle. And then Saul became very jealous. Well, the result is he tried to slay David. He realized now that David was anointed and he was going to take over the throne after him. And so, what happened? You see, he hurled a javelin at David. It missed him, and David fled. He fled into the wilderness. And all those who were discontented, in debt, and distressed, they came and formed a band in the cave of Adullam. And there, about 400 men with David, they used to go out and fight the Philistines, and they would protect the Israelites. And the result was that the fame of David went everywhere, but Saul sought to slay David. He sought to slay David. But, of course, God protected David. He led and guided him by the Spirit, and you see, Saul's army of about 3,000 at one time could not capture David. And this went on for years. Well, the result was David was learning wisdom. David was learning how to fight. David was learning how to walk in the Spirit, how to govern men. And he was maturing. He was being prepared for the throne. Now then, you see, there came a time when God permitted Saul to camp so very near David. David and his men were hiding in a cave, and Saul came into that cave, and the men said, "Now's your opportunity. Slay him, and you'll become the king like God has promised." He said, "No, I won't touch the anointed of the Lord." You know, it's one thing is this, you must not touch your enemy. Let God do it. And then again, here was Saul surrounded by his men, sleeping, and God put a deep sleep upon them. Again, David had the opportunity of going right up and could have slain Saul. He just took his spear. And he cut off a part of his skirt, and God smote him for touching the anointed of the Lord. You know, we must not touch our enemy. Let God deal with him. And there came a day, you see, when Saul, who had been rejected by God, was fighting the Philistines. And he was asking God for a sign. But God would not speak to Saul. He had rejected Saul. He would not give him a dream. He would not speak to him from the prophets. He would not speak to him from the Urim and Thummim that the priest carried. God rejected him. And so Saul, in desperation, goes to a witch, the witch of Endor, and he says to this witch, "Bring me up Samuel." The witch realized who this man was, Saul, and she was afraid. And he said, "No, I shall not harm you. Bring up Samuel." And in one of those miraculous interventions in Scripture, Samuel came up from paradise where the old saints reposed, and he said, "Why have you disturbed me, Saul?" He said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Well, Saul went out to battle with his son Jonathan, and the battle was hard, and Saul was wounded, Jonathan was killed, Saul was wounded, and he realized that his wound was unto death. He tried to commit suicide by falling upon his sword, and then he saw an Amalekite, somebody he should have slain, you know, an Amalekite. And this Amalekite boy He called him over and said, "Son," he said, "I'm dying. Kill me." And so the Amalekite boy killed him. Well, David was also fighting the Philistines in another part of the country. And he came back to his town of Ziklag, and he found that the enemy had come in and taken everything. And it looked as though David and his men had lost everything. And they spoke of stoning David. And David cried out to God, said, "What shall I do?" God said, "Go down to that valley where the enemy is and where they have captured all the wives and children and so forth, the treasures." He said, "You'll get everything." He got everything back. Saul died. David got everything back. And then God spoke to David. He said, "I want you to go up to Hebron. I want you to go up to Hebron. And there they will anoint you as king over Judah." And oh, the kingdom changed at that moment. And David became the king, a man who would do everything that God wanted him to do. So that is the story of 1 Samuel, the rejection of Eli and Saul, the promotion of Samuel the prophet, and David the king. Men who would do all God's will. Those who disobeyed and were in disobedience were rejected. But those who would do all God's will were accepted by God. May God grant that we be like Samuel and David, and that we in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds will purpose to do everything that God tells us to do. In so doing, we shall be accepted by God, and also we shall hear those wonderful words, the end of our lives, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." May that be your portion too, dear ones. God bless you.